Blog Talk Radio.
We own the air. It's the V-Spot with Dr. Victator. Yeah, do you? My co-host is the baby Neil Worm. Ah, we're on the air. I don't want to get scalded one of those singing loops. Neil, how you doing?
Caught the sniffles again. Can I call it the sniffles?
Well, I wanted to call it the rain drain boogity doos.
Reminds me of those jokes they used to say about British slang. It's like...
No, I was doing Australian slang. I was just making up words. Vegematic, Levon and Shirley. This is going to be our first movie club episode, and we'll probably end up talking about the movie for like 2 minutes, knowing the way these things go. I have Mike Harpo Garza with me to discuss it. How you doing, Harpo?
Another Sunday, another Oakland Raiders bed shitting.
So how's your new route going?
It's tremendous. I'm not surrounded by disgusting... horrible, awful people every day. It's a dream come true.
Now, let me ask you, have there been any scenes that this is like some type of for the man who has everything scenario and you're seeing little cracks in the facade?
I have an apartment complex at the very end of my route that's, it's not, you know, the best apartment complex in the world. But it's light years ahead of the trailer park I previously delivered to. And there's a few times where I look around and I can kind of see, okay, I can see how this could be out of a bad place after dark, so maybe I'll just make sure I get here a little earlier tomorrow. But other than that, it's been pretty good.
I'm kind of afraid we're going to end up lynching our bill man. He keeps forgetting packages and putting them in the wrong boxes, and it's like, and there's like three or four of us, and we're just kind of doing the rabble-rousy, rabble.
Oh, jeez. Just remember, no matter how much you hate your mailman, he'll always hate himself a little bit more.
Yeah, he seems like a nice enough guy, you know? That's why I can't really ball him out.
Oh,
you know, if he were a dickhead about
property.
It, you know, if he were a dickhead, it'd be easier. That's my secret weakness. Now, you had the idea to do the movie club about 5 months ago or whenever. I have lost track of time. Did you know the Boston Marathon bombing was this year?
No, that old thing.
Doesn't that feel like that was like 3 years ago?
Yeah, they also have the internet on computers now, too.
Yeah, it's like it's just I'm losing track of time. It seems like more and more time is passing by, and also it feels like that they've asked us to turn our clocks back 3 fucking times this year.
I bet they did.
They're just starting to act like how they treat Steve Rogers, Captain America now. Remember that joke you had?
What sorcery be this?
Now these little birds that fly in the sky. There were planes. You jumped out of one before you got frozen.
Yes! Metal bird demon!
Where's Bucky?
Oh, there he is! Actually, I had a neighbor kid the other day. I was going out to get a Powerade or something. I walked back around the corner, and I said, this neighbor kid, you know, he doesn't have a dad. I've been trying to help him out, you know, like I give him action figures and stuff. While being making sure there's always another adult around or a kid or a relative kid of mine. But I see him, and I'm like, what's he doing over there? He's got a backpack on. Is he wearing a base shirt? I walk over, he just doesn't have a shirt on. He's wearing his backpack 2 minutes after getting off the bus.
Nice.
Hello, Kevin, what are you doing? He said, I was just tired. I took my shirt off. I asked my nephew Dylan about this, and he thinks it's perfectly normal.
Oh, shit, man, he was hot. What do you want from him? What do you have for him?
What am I, the Queen of England?
Okay, now I'm actually just solidified it. When you said Gavin, I thought, you know, my nephew Gavin. I didn't know your neighbor Gavin.
Well, of course, my neighbor Gavin.
That's adorable.
Neil has a 2-year-old nephew named Gavin.
And also named Gavin. You know, we're going to be running out of Gavin license plates.
Now, but anyway, you suggested we watch the movie Going Berserk.
I did. It's a movie that shaped my childhood.
All right, you go ahead and explain it to us about who's in it and the premise.
Okay. Going Berserk is the, in my humble opinion, the hidden gem of the John Candy film oeuvre. I think it's, what is it, 83 or 84? This is like very post SCTV John Candy. Looking to marry the daughter of a congressman, who is played by Kevin Arnold's mom, whose name escapes me. And,
Haley Mills.
I should know that. And he, along with his best bud, Joe Flaherty, who is played by Joe Flaherty, and another friend of theirs, the esteemed pre-shitmeister Eugene Levy, back before he knew how to, or back when he still knew how to say no to a script, embark on this journey that crosses both time and space. Not really, but basically he's a guy who has all these different shitty jobs that he works in order to try to impress the unimpressed senator, and hijinks and hilarity ensue. It also features pre-Ghostbusters Ernie Hudson. Who else? The opening credits feature a novelty rap song, which at that point in the 80s was highly controversial. And there's a dream sequence of John Candy masturbating.
They should put that in the trailer.
Yeah, seriously, look the trailer up on YouTube. It is, you will watch the trailer and then instantly go to Netflix to watch it because it is that damn funny.
Well, it's an interesting movie because the more I got into it, it felt like more like it was like an old Three Stooges short. It kind of had those, it's like very loosely held together. It's not really so much of a movie as it is a bunch of vignettes.
Yeah,
that's one of the best ones for kids. Movies that kids latch onto. Like, I remember Ernest Goes to Camp. It's basically like, and then this scene happens, and this scene happens.
Mike Dick from the Kissing Contest podcast, I had him review it on his show, and he said the same thing. It just seemed like it was SCTV, the movie. Like, it's just a bunch of skits that with a loosely connected premise.
Now, is it just me, or were we supposed to root for the senator to be killed at the end?
Yeah, that's the way I thought, too. The thing for me, it's a great John Candy movie, but I always consider it to be a Eugene Levy movie because he plays the ultimate scumbag, horrible director who makes these shitty kung fu movies that all of his friends star in.
I really liked the way the kung fu movie was done because a lot of people don't know how to do a parody of a bad movie being made because they'll go too over the top with it. And this one right here, it felt like it was just competent enough to have credibility.
Yeah, it was perfect. It's like that when they showed the clip of Kung Fu U, little like 2-minute clip that they showed inspired me and my idiot friends for decades to make movies.
You know what it kind of reminded me of? Because me and Bill were just watching this the other day. Do you remember on Sunny when they did Lethal Weapon 5?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they had that scene where they would do these things just well enough, and then it would just go, and then you'd see something completely bad that you could, or go off the rails, and you would believe that they were actually, that was an honest mistake.
Have you watched the sequel part of Lethal Weapon 6? They did something that was gayer than a Top Gun's volleyball scene.
I don't know where that came from, but it was perfect. My wife was like, why do I recognize this song? I was like, It's the volleyball song from Top Gun.
I was telling Clay, you know, and we'll get back to the movie in a second. But, you know, I was telling Neil, I said, I don't really think Mac's gay. I think Mac is a very confused bisexual.
That would make sense. I mean, he did have relations with the tranny.
Exactly. The funny thing is, he didn't seem as gay back then.
Yeah, no, back then it was like, hey, he also had sex with a lot of women, too, so I guess, yeah, he probably is very confused bisexual.
Well, you gotta
also,
remember that.
Also, if
he's
never had, never had an orgasm.
No, but if you think about it, okay, he never had a father. He had a very poor mother figure, so, you know, he's got a lot of confused feelings.
He assumed that every family in Philadelphia went door-to-door stealing presents from each other.
Yep.
Actually, do you know how hard it is not to watch that right now, but I'm waiting till Christmas?
Oh, dude, probably about the middle of July, I start going, man, I really need to watch that, but yeah, no, I make myself wait.
Yeah, because I'm wanting to watch it so bad right now, because it makes it feel like Christmas, because, you know, because it's a show, it has enough of a heart to it. That's what people don't understand about it. It has just enough of a heart where it feels like real people, that you see why they're so fucked up.
There's moments where you're like, oh my god, this has like a legitimate holiday feel to it. Like, they see how horrible they are. They want to be better.
And just thought, oh, Frank decided to be a better father just because he had a dream that everybody killed him.
Oh, God. That is probably, like, the best made-for-TV, like, comedy television Christmas special ever.
Now, if we could go back to the movie again, which, again, it is a very funny movie. You know, the thing that won me over is when he's in the nightclub. And it seemed like John Candy had a string of movies where he's beating up women in nightclubs.
Well, you know, it was more socially acceptable in the 80s.
I like what he did to Fireman's Carry. He hit that woman with it has a name. They call it a wasteland now.
Yeah, he, like, picked her up, did, like, an airplane spin, and then tosses her ass off of the...
Yeah. Well, it'd be an interesting thing to do today, because, okay, my favorite thing today is trying to pick groups of white knights against each other. You know, like, if you can get a conflict between a gay man and a woman, you know, and again, I'm not encouraging it, you know, because, again, I try to respect everybody, but I do like to see them contort and try to figure out whose side to take.
So confused.
You know, it's kind of like when you're trying to make a robot have a logical error.
Go explode like Nomad.
Yeah, just something, you know, like that, but, you know, it doesn't come up often enough. Of course, I found the quickest way to end arguments now when somebody's trying to do this. Like, I think somebody told me, so you say it's okay to hit women? I just go, yes. Is that what you wanted to hear? I mean, whatever makes you maddest or most offended is exactly what I meant, and we can move on. And usually they don't know how to handle that.
Let's just put our cards on the table here. I'm pro women getting punched.
Hey, so it's like, now, is it morally acceptable if you've got a big fat lady to beat up a woman who offended you?
I think they have to be the same weight class.
Of course, I always had two, I remember I got to a woman, I was like, I got two sisters, they'll kick the shit out of you. I mean, they're both crazy, they ain't got, they're not the one will have two oars in the water. I was telling Neil after the, you said you hadn't seen Sonny this week, you know, where the gang's trying to settle its beats.
Yeah,
I found that I have a lot of ongoing beef, both in real life and online.
Yeah, I've got a few. Actually, my biggest beef died this week. Roland Alexander.
Yeah, I heard that, you know, because I remember some guy trying to, there's this guy who I think is Gank at the DVD-VR board. He's just terrible. And he tried to start a thread about Roland Alexander, hoping that people would just pile on. People were just like, he's a wrestling promoter. You know, but he had his moment.
Yeah, I actually, back in the infancy of the internet, I would say probably, well, not the infancy, like the infancy of my exposure to the internet, which was like 96, 97. I was a member of a wrestling site called WrestlingSucks.com, but we were actually wrestling fans. It was kind of a joke. We played like a lot of April Fool's jokes. So we used to fool the torch all the time. We had we would send in fake show results. We were just basically merry pranksters. And I went to an APW show because they're, you know, just about like a little over an hour from my house. And me and a couple of my friends went down there and I made some little pithy remark about, it's kind of funny. These guys take themselves so seriously. But, in reality, their promoter is this brown-lipped asshole. Which, Roland Alexander had brown lips. There was nothing wrong about that. And, I kind of just dismissed it because it was shitty pro wrestling. I mean, there wasn't, at the time, he was like, I don't know, he was like, he was still doing like his monthly shows, but he had Modest, and that was about it. Nobody had heard of
him. Oh, they didn't have a Crash yet.
Yeah, well, Crash was probably still going through school at the time. But,
right.
Yeah, nobody had heard of Chris Daniels, and Chris Daniels quickly distanced himself from him. And, it was just kind of funny. I was like, whatever, it's wrestling. Even when it's bad, it's not that bad. It's still wrestling. And he took umbrage and, just email blasted me for, a month straight, saying, you're not a fan. And by this point, I'd already been to, four or five of his shows. He's like, you never went, you weren't even there, And then he offered to comp me to a show, and I was like, you don't have to comp me. I mean, I was planning on coming out to the next one anyways, because, it's wrestling. I wasn't married at the time. I didn't had disposable income. I was like, I have no problem driving an hour to see pro wrestling, even if it's not great. And so he insisted on comping me. So I get down there. And this is all before, it was probably about a year or two before Beyond the Mat. So I get down there and I say, I'm from WrestlingSucks.com, and the doorman just looks at me. He's like, why would he admit someone from a site called WrestlingSucks.com? And I explain, look, it's a joke. It's a play on words. Wrestling doesn't really suck, except for when it sucks. And even when it sucks, it's still wrestling. And so he goes, I'm going to go check. And so he goes and gets rolling and rolling because that goes, guess you just wasted an hour of your time driving down here. There's no way in hell I'm letting you into my show. And I started laughing. And like, you really want to do this. You told me I can come down here. It's like, that's fine. I'll just buy a ticket. And he goes, no, you're banned. And so
what?
I just start laughing. He banned me from shows. So I said, okay. And I went and hopped in my car, drove back home. And from then on, he was my one and only. There's people on the internet that I don't like. He is legitimately the only person on the internet that I hated. And now he's dead, and I have this emptiness inside of me because I have no more rivals.
Well, now let me ask you this. When he did this, would you mind if I shared the story online?
I just podcasted it. I don't want to. Who would you be sharing it with specifically?
I just wanted to tell the story in that RIP thread.
Just leave my name out of it. Just say a friend of mine.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't use your name. What's funny? I guess I can say this now. You know what he kind of looks like a Mr. Potato Head with the Unabomber?
The Kaczynski look with the Mr. Potato Head body. After all of this went down, a couple years go by, I go opening night to see Beyond the Mat, and when they show his face, I just yell, what the fuck? in the middle of the movie theater.
And, well, it's just funny that he did that because, you know, the thing is, somebody goes that much trouble to get you, you beat them.
You were inside his head. Yeah, and I was like, all I did was write, like, a 500-word post on a website about how I had a great time watching shitty wrestling. And his whole thing was, this is not shitty wrestling. These guys take it very seriously. Blah, blah, blah. You barrage them. And it's like, look, man, be comfortable with what you are. You're not the big leagues.
Stop
having fun, guys, type of guy.
Well, I'm pretty sure some of the
guys had to sign.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the guys that were bumping and risking breaking their necks weren't that mad.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing with him, too, is this started, like, a whole feud between me and him for years on. He would show up over at the Wrestling Sucks message board every once in a while, and me and him would just have, like, these, like, 5,000 comment threads where I would just continually just snipe at him. And he would just, pretend like he had no idea who I was. And I was like, yeah, that's right, bitch. He knows exactly who I am. And the contracts that he signed his trainees to were insane. Every guy that he, quote-unquote, trained, which he didn't do shit.
Yeah.
He never trained a single one of them. He had Modest or Don Morgan or any of the other guys that were there.
And even then, when they were all in Japan...
And then any guy that he allegedly trained, they were kicking back like 15% to 20% of their paydays to him.
Well, yeah, and of course, there's the whole thing about that trainee that got killed.
Yeah, Brian Ong, when Kyle jumped him on his head.
Yeah, and they didn't get a doctor or anything like that. And and I heard that he'd been. I'd heard that he basically been working like these backwoods shows to avoid paying him, or paying his family anyway.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, so I mean, it's like, the guy's dead now, so I should probably let it go, but yeah, I kind of feel good letting the world know that he's a scumbag.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's pretty much the...
That's not a prank of you showing up, where you're saying, flush that turd! Burn the doctor!
Actually, just going back to Sonny for a minute, that was one thing I liked about the show is that when Mac and Charlie were dead, Frank had taken the loss very hard. And it appeared Mac, it appeared Dennis did until Dennis, at first, and then Dennis was acting so laissez-faire about it, and eventually he just revealed, I can hear you right. when you're talking at full volume and stomping around, I hear all that. I can see you through the window looking in. That was the first time I'd heard that story. Which I'm not surprised.
I don't like the move. Internet beef is stupid. Internet beef is idiotic, but every once in a while, internet beef is hilarious. And to me, this guy that lived, an hour and a half from me, that ran these shitty, shitty shows, and he was always constantly on the verge of going out of business, he felt so strongly against me that he felt the need to do that. And I always kind of took that as like a badge of honor.
It's kind of like West Coast Ian Rodden.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
I think Ian Rodden had some good matches at one time.
Craziest thing is, the best APW match, and I would probably put it in one of the top 15 matches I ever saw, was Christopher Daniels versus Barry Horowitz.
Yeah, that would be good. Horowitz.
It was like 20 minutes, and they were just like going back and forth, just putting on like a perfect technical match, and this is after... 20 years of watching Barry Horowitz lose every week in spectacular fashion. And it was like, holy shit, I forgot at one point this guy was really good.
Now, did Barry look giant in an APW ring?
Yeah, oh, yeah, and especially going up against Daniels. He looked like a freaking monster, and it was perfect because Daniels bumped for him. You know, Barry, at the point, Barry could still go a little bit. He was, you know, probably pushing his mid-40s, but he could still
go.
What
year was this?
I want to say 97, 96?
Yeah, because he was in WCW like 98, 99 on Saturday night.
Yep.
And, you know, and he would tear it up with anybody they put him in there with. Or if you go and check out the stuff he was doing in WF in 95 when he had that feud with Chris Candido.
Yeah.
I mean, that was that was some good stuff.
He could always go.
Yeah, it's just, it's really too bad what happened to him. Of course, my idea was always just to put him under a mask.
Yeah, you might as well. It's the only way to get the stink of Jobber off of him.
Well, it's also the fact he never looked too threatening. You know, he didn't look threatening enough. And I don't know if he could have got a haircut. But then again, I used to say the same thing about Daniel Bryan. When I saw him on Velocity in like 02, and I think he made one appearance at TNA or something, I didn't think he was ever going to mount the ship because he didn't look threatening. He looked like Bob Backlund.
He looked like a kid.
He looked like it's like I never thought that. So they'll just have to put him under a mask or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, he got
he
better.
The technical badass who looks like the kid who mows your lawn.
Yeah, and I mean, but he got better, and if he got better, he developed more of a presence to him.
Well, you know, he started out under a mask.
And Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, they probably should have. My friend that went to school with him, he had this mask. I can't remember who he was. I think it was this guy named Chris Kruger. They had a match, and they had, like, a ramp that led up to the ring, like, at the venue they were at. And you could tell it's the shitty plywood mat, or the shitty plywood ramp. And Danielson takes a back body drop out of the ring onto the ramp, and you could just see, like, chunks of splinters when he lands just fly up in the air. And I'm just watching it going, oh, God. And he gets up. Really slow, because you could tell it, like, knocked the wind out of him or something, and he'd only been wrestling for, like 7 or 8 months, and he was already taking, like, idiotic risks like that, and I was like, oh, this guy will never make it. Oh, here we are.
Yeah, and of course, people are going, you know, and you wisely don't go to the forums anymore, and I've kind of slacked off, but every time he doesn't win the world title, people will say, oh, he's being buried, oh, it's terrible. You know, and if you watched it like at the last pay-per-view, it took Triple H, Randy Orton, and Shawn Michaels to beat him. And people took that as watching his push.
Well, I don't know what they want. I mean, shit, Punk wins the title, and you would think finally that the internet community would be like, hey, our guy finally did it. You know, one of our guys finally broke through. But no, now it's just like, well, now what do we do for the next one? Well, shit, just be happy you got one through.
Well, they still think Punk wasn't pushed. He was champion for over 400 days and lost to The Rock, who, by the way, sucks. I mean, the credit to Punk for getting any type of match out of him.
Yeah, he's an actor now. He's not a wrestler anymore. He's an actor.
If I ever see another Rock match again, it'll be too soon.
I view him through a different prism now. I don't view him as a wrestler. I view him as like Jay Leno or Dennis Rodman or Karl Malone. He's just a celebrity now.
Well, he probably wouldn't be that bad if he didn't have his special super vitamins.
Yeah.
But it's like if you watch Hulk Hogan in TNA, and every now and again you'll see something from Hulk Hogan that'll show a shadow of what he was.
Yeah.
You know, like there was this, like, one time he bowed up to Bubba Ray. And it's like you kind of see what he was with The Rock. I feel like The Rock retroactively ruined any enjoyment I had of him ever. By the way, I'm using my hands. I'm gesturing very emphatically. So if I had a can of wine, that would really help.
Yeah, I don't know. Ever since he came back, the match with Cena was pretty much it for me. The rest I can take or leave.
Yeah, no, I saw the match with Punk. It was like, man.
And then you compare it with Brock.
Yeah, and I won't say this exaggerate here. I have better stamina than The Rock does now.
Take a look at Brock, who's been out of the ring for, you know, pretty much just as long as he has. and who comes in, and what did he have, like three that year, that first year back, he had like three of the top five matches of the year.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he had the best match this year with CM Punk at SummerSlam, which people try to deny, and I mean, and he was able to, I feel like that Brock, anytime he's not wrestling, he's working toward whatever he's doing next. Like, he doesn't be wrestling.
So he's got the Swedish gig now. Yep, he wrestles like three or four times a year. He does. He shows up to TV a half a dozen times a year. Doesn't have to get in the ring on TV, you know, at televised matches. Doesn't do house shows, and then he gets the big WrestleMania payday.
Yeah, I think he just hates. I think he likes wrestling. I think he just hated traveling.
Well, and the thing is too is it's funny. Like, you know, I could see why they would do that with him. I could even see why they would do that with The Rock. And, you know, for Undertaker, they have to do it that way because he's old and he's falling apart. When Triple H tried working the part-time schedule, it was hilarious.
Yeah, it's like the last month that I, you know. Now, you know what I've been calling Stephanie McMahon lately?
What's that?
I've been calling her Golden Moose Cholock. I don't know if you know who that is.
No idea.
He's, look it up on Google. Just go to Google and just look it up, and he's this old-time wrestler, and this is what I think now, because she won't sell for anybody. Anybody. Like, she wouldn't put Dusty Rhodes over. And then she goes over and is towering over AJ, and all I can think of was what Jim Cornette said about Baby Doll. He said that Baby Doll ran over him like some big moose. And that's what I keep. That's what I keep picturing. But this, and people have been trying to say, "Well, she was good on the mic, but it doesn't matter because she's not going to put anybody over, nobody." And I mean, and Shane was worse. You know, Shane would go booing up to Umaga and Great Khali like he was a badass.
Yeah, I always liked heel Shane better than plucky underdog Shane.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was best in '99 when he went like when he put over Gilbert.
That was great. Now, I'm not usually a fan of parody wrestlers, but Goldberg was perfect.
Well, and you can't help being happy for the guy.
Yeah, guy bumped around forever, and then he just happened to be bald and fit the profile.
Yeah, because I don't know if you saw when he debuted, but if you look at Bob Holly and Scorpio, they both look like they are so happy for him.
Yeah.
They're holding up the sparklers.
Sprayed him with the fire extinguisher.
Yeah. And it was a funny thing that WWF did that, because I remember somebody at the time said made the WWF look bad, because, you know, they were already beating the hell out of WCW.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you, especially, oh, yeah, and Gilbert actually did beat Goldust.
Whenever you would try to jackhammer someone, they ended up falling on top of them.
Yeah, and but with Shane McMahon, he actually speared Shane.
I remember the WWF trading card game. Like, it was kind of like a Magic the Gathering, but with WWF. And they actually had a Gilbert deck that you can make.
I feel like you would kind of do it like Dan Hibiki in Street Fighter. But if he actually does hit the spear...
Yeah, he would hit the spear every once in a while, then set it up for the jackhammer and just fail. And I remember, like, every wrestling video game, the first character I created was Gilbert every single time.
Yeah, it's very frustrating that WWF messed up Goldberg, killing Gilbert so badly, and then they didn't do the Goldberg-Gilbert Mouse of Kangaroo story.
I would have preferred it.
Existing.
Yeah, that would have been great.
And it would be Ric Flair hunting them down at Triple H, and Triple H keeps running into Goldberg.
See, I would have preferred that they debuted Goldberg with Gilbert just getting a piss beat out of him in the ring. Goldberg
yeah, and they didn't do it.
Them.
Like, they did that segment. Now, mind you, I wanted to do the Mouse of Kangaroo with Sabu, Great Khali, and then eventually you would find it with Sabu, and it turns out he's more dangerous and starts stabbing you. or right now, okay, if I had a ton of money that I had to piss away on something, I would like to book Aki Bono and Samoa Joe versus Sabu and Great Khali.
That would be the greatest. There would be so many potato punches in that match.
Yeah. I can't tell. Have you seen Aki Bono versus Brock?
Oh, yeah.
It was actually a pretty good match because they had a good story around the guy that Brock couldn't toss around.
You know, who did he just injure? Oh, he, broke a bunch of Loki's ribs recently, and Loki retired because of it. I was like, holy shit, Aki Bono is the man who retired Loki. Mark it down.
Oh, shit. No, I've heard something about that. They gave him the triple crown. Now, how did this happen? Did he just sit on him?
No, it was, maybe it was like an elbow drop or something. And he just broke his ribs. Like, you could see the look on Loki's face. And I'm like, oh, now you know how everyone who you kicked in the face felt, you little shit.
Well, I remember when I first went to Loki's website, and this was like years ago, and he had this whole thing about which wrestlers he admired, but then he had emphatically put in print that he was not a mark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Got to qualify it.
Yeah, you know, got to say, I am not a mark. Of course, I have this thing now whenever I hear people talk about marks, the first thing I always say is, who is Mark? And I'll do this thing where I want somebody to explain the premise to me very exactly. I'll just keep dragging it out so I can hear it very exactly, just so it can sound as stupid as possible. Now, it had to be something that bugs me, because I always hate, because, you know, you'll have people saying, oh, that's what a mark does. And it's like, who's Mark? I remember that was the first thing I saw when I went on the internet back in 95. No, I just remember that was the first thing I saw where people were calling each other marks.
Well, it's like, you think about it. How many forms of entertainment do the entertainers have derisive terms to refer to their fans as?
Yeah, now, I always heard Bill Watts got pissed off when he heard people refer to as marks. You know, his view was that these are paying customers.
Yeah, that's how they should be viewed. But no, they're marks because they think it's real.
Yeah, Bill Watts' attitude was, you know, these are paying customers and they should be treated with respect.
Well, I mean, it's true.
Yeah, it's like, I don't understand what the point of that is, you know, because, I mean, I've heard, and, you know, and now, to be fair, now, most of the wrestlers I've met, talked to on the show or met at shows, they're usually really cool. You know, and they actually enjoy wrestling as much as I do. You know, but you get some of these guys that are higher up, and it seems like they're just miserable doing that. It seems like that's the fastest way to stop enjoying something is to start doing it for a living.
Well, and it's like, who's the real mark here? I mean, you know, I sit at home and I watch it, and I go to the events and I watch it, and I know it's fake, but I enjoy the show. I don't care if I'm on top. I don't care, you know, I don't refuse to lose to certain guys. Who's the real mark here? I'm not the one who's going to ruin my marriage because so I can be on the road 300 days a year. Who's the real mark here?
You know, the weird thing, whenever I hear about guys that travel a lot, it always seems like that the marriage goes south when they come home.
Well, yeah, they get used to not being at home. The spouse gets used to them not being at home.
Yeah, it's like they're home for 6 weeks there, and, you know, they're kind of thinking, I hate this bitch. And then she's thinking, I hate this motherfucker. Why the fuck did I marry him?
That was one of my old customers. He was a pitching coach, or he was a scout for the San Francisco Giants. And he finally retired. And he was gone, you know, 9 months of the year. And he retired, and within 6 months, him and his wife of 30 years got divorced. She had gotten so used to him not being home.
Yeah, which, I mean, I can't really understand, you know, I try to understand things like relationship stuff, because to me, and I mean, I guess it's because of how fucked up I am, that I always hear about people getting divorced. I'm like, wait, was he hitting you? Were you cheating on him? And then they always say, I said, then why'd you get divorced? That's in my mind. That's the limit, you know. Yeah, it's like, are you beating the hell out of each other? Are you cheating on each other?
Well, sometimes
man,
you
I'm just
the feet up.
Yeah, it's working out, you pussies. Yeah, this show is going to kill me eventually. If I ever get to the point where I can make something of myself, this shit's going to be dragged up. And knowing me, I'm going to completely own it and say, yeah, said it so fucking what?
Deal with it.
Yeah, pretty much. Tomorrow night, or this week, I should have Jason Knight from ECW on the show. I was supposed to have him a week ago. And he's a cool guy. I mean, it's so nice to talk to somebody and you don't have to worry about games or anything. I said, can you be on the show? He said, sure, why not?
That's cool.
And I ought to be having Fabian Nicieza on sometime soon, and hopefully I can get Jerry Conway again. Because I don't know when they're going to cut us off. I have no idea, so I figure I'll just end it now. Going Berserk is a really funny movie. Check it out on Netflix. And next time, we might talk about DC Cab for 2 minutes.
Sweet.
I don't know. So, everybody, good night.
Good night.